Chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Dennis. Good evening, everyone. My name is Darren. It's a privilege to talk to you. Sanning Phi Lock, and happy New Year to all of you. You're most welcome with us tonight, wherever you've come from. Please keep that passage open in front of you, and let me pray before we begin. Father God, we thank you for the gift of your word. I pray that you would give us the gift of faith to see what you would say to us, Father, and by your Spirit, you would be building your church and encouraging us in the things of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to love and follow him more. Amen. Well, I was reflecting this week. It was just over a year ago at Chinese New Year. We were celebrating coming out of COVID. Does anyone remember that small event? I was chatting to a psychologist this week, and he was telling me that we're only beginning to understand how this once-in-a-century event has changed all of our lives, how it has shaped us and how it has affected us in a global event that really we haven't seen anything the like of since World War II. And I guess, well, you know, thank God that's all over. But as we've come out of it, the last 12 months, if you're anything like me, do you feel that the last 12 months, all of the thousands and thousands of things that your life was busy full of before COVID have just sort of lined up to creep back in and push and force themselves back into your life? As we enter this new year, this new lunar year, I think you and I, we have a chance tonight to stop and reflect as Christians and ask ourselves, what is it really that we want our lives to be made up out of? Now, I've told some of you before that I like going camping in the autumn and the winter in Hong Kong. It was certainly much easier to prepare for this when I was a younger single man. I didn't really have to take anything with me, and there'd be no consequences because I could just end up sleeping on the beach or something, and that would be okay. Now you have a family of four, things are a little bit more technical. I need to be more thoughtful. What sort of food, what sort of clothes, appropriate clothes for the children, stuff for the baby. I mean, how does someone so small generate so many economies of scale of things that you have to bring with you? And what we could do is we could lay all the things out on the bed that we want to bring in the suitcase or the car, and I suppose we could start with the items that shout the loudest to us. And I say to my son, who's three, "What should we bring?" And he says, "Fire engines." And I say, "Right. How many fire engines?" He says, "Four, Papa." I say, "Four fire engines. What about a tent, or what about milk for your baby sister?" And I suppose when we see the big heap of things, and I want to say we need to love all of it, but really we need to reach for the big essential things first, don't we? The tent, the food, the clothes. And then when the car or the suitcase looks almost full, then you see in the gaps and the corner, you've got space for the trainers, for the iPad, for the CDs, for the luxuries, a bottle of something nice to enjoy around the fire. I think very many of us, before COVID, we were much better at packing the car or packing the luggage than we were at packing our own lives. And subsequently, we were distracted and we were upset about many things. And we ask the Lord, does he not care about me? Why doesn't he send someone to help? And I suppose if we can look at this famous passage this evening with eyes of faith, we can answer these questions and really answer what kind of Christian you want to be in the year of the dragon. And so it's a very simple sermon tonight, ladies and gentlemen. It's 2 points only, the one thing you need, and how to build a one thing life. Of course, we're continuing in this journey in the book of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 10 tonight, and Jesus is, of course, on the way to the cross. He set himself and steeled himself for this mission. And these chapters that we're looking at in our previous and the following weeks, they show us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and to truly follow him. And in this wonderful little passage this evening, we meet two of the best loved by Jesus disciples. But sadly, one of them is distracted with the preparations and the tasks and the urgency of the day. And I'd really like to make Martha this evening the unofficial patron saint of Chinese New Year, because she's how so many of us feel at the holidays. Put your hands up if you've already had the family conflict already. Yeah, it's day two, and you've only come to church to get away from the family conflict. You're so irritated by your family, you said, if I get asked about my love life or my salary one more time, I'm going to church. Well, it may be faux piety, but we're so glad you're here this evening. And yet Martha is so human and so relatable. So many of us feel this way at big holidays and festivals. And while I know that I'm only a guest in Hong Kong, over my years here, I think I have been able to observe something of how this incredibly busy city bears down on us all as Christians. And today we have an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and to learn how to pack our lives differently from now on and going forward. We can identify the essentials and really pack them first. And maybe if we're just able to do that, we'll be able to decide that we truly have everything that we already need. So the other requests in our lives, the other things that shout at us, the urgency to the fire engines, we can see that they really are only meant to fill the corners and the gaps of our life. And so really, point one is, only one thing is needed. And it's a brilliant story. It's told with so much love. And if you know anything of the writer Luke, you know he was a doctor and a reporter and a biographer. And he compiled his gospel by going to speak to lots of people and eyewitnesses. And he would have spent time with Mary and Martha. And here Jesus arrives at their home in the village of Bethany, just a day's walk from Jerusalem. And we're told in verse 38 that Martha opens her home to him. And I don't want you to pass over this. Luke isn't telling us here that Mary ran a really great Airbnb in Bethany. It's building on the theology that Luke has been teaching in his gospel, and especially the binary that he has been teaching in chapter 9 and 10. If you were here with us a few weeks ago, you would have heard about how Jesus sent the 12 and the 72 to be involved in mission. And he sent them with the teaching that people will welcome or reject you because you are my disciples. And Luke's vocabulary here, it is the same root verb as this, to welcome Jesus. And what Luke is telling us, that Martha has done something great. She has welcomed Jesus. She is a disciple of Jesus. She is a convert of Jesus. She has picked a side of this binary of history to be for him. And this was a public stand that she was welcoming Jesus. And it's an example of one brilliant disciple. And secondly, we meet her sister in verse 39, a sister called Mary. And what's she doing? Well, she's sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he had to say to his word. And again, in Luke's gospel, to not miss this, she too has done something significant. For a theme that runs right the way through this book that Luke compiled, chapter 1, chapter 9, chapter 11, the big booming voice of God, "This is my son, listen to him. This is my son, listen to him." And Luke's gospel, there are two big entry gates to being a disciple of Jesus. One is welcoming Jesus, and the second is listening to him. And Martha and Mary are modeling one each, perhaps more clearly, in fact, than anyone else in the book of Luke. And we read this story, and you can think it's a compilation. Luke's listeners would have been nodding their head. This is a good story, Luke. This is the greatest hits of the disciples, Mary and Martha. One's welcoming, one's listening. This is what Christians should do. Brilliant. But Luke doesn't tell us it this way. This is not how the narrative goes. For we're told that Martha was distracted by all of the preparations. Real life intrudes. Like Chinese New Year or Christmas or the holidays in your culture, there's a lot of flapping. There's a lot of cooking. There's a lot of rushing. There's a lot of serving and making beds and wrapping presents and preparing the lycee. And Martha is flustered and distracted by all of the preparations. The word that Luke uses is actually that big Bible word for serving. She's serving Jesus. And you could read this and you could think, well, goodness, give her a break, Luke. You know, this is understandable. For she's busy with all the preparations. She comes through to the sitting room, and you can just imagine her. I imagine her however you want. I imagine her with an apron that's covered in food. The pun choi is burning. The cherry trifle's on fire. Her hair is flustered. She's coming through with the nibbles and saying, oh, Mary, I'd love to stay and chat, but there's just so much to do in the kitchen. Or she's gesturing from behind the plant. Mary, Mary, will you come and help me? And you know how it is. It's one of those sort of high-stress moments, but in hindsight, you probably think we could have handled the interpersonals a bit better there. It got a bit too much, but we can all feel this way at holidays and weddings and festivals. And verse 40, well, Mary's not listening to Martha, so she goes after Jesus in verse 40, and she says to him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has let me do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. My sister won't come. So she goes after Jesus, and Luke's audience would have felt it. It's all very critical and moany, and she accuses Jesus of not caring. But you could be forgiven for thinking Mary should have known better. If any of you have been lucky enough to have traveled to the Middle East, you will know that hospitality is so sacred. It was so precious. And Mary was attached to this house. She shouldn't need to be asked. Luke's listeners would have been in no doubt as they heard this, as they nodded along, Jesus is going to side with Martha. Because as good as it is to listen, listen after the tasks. Listen after the homework. Listen after the jobs. And that's why what Jesus says is so devastating. It's so devastating from the first century, and it is so devastating to you and I this evening, for it teaches us how to pack the suitcase of our lives and how to fill our lives with what matters. For do you notice what Jesus says in verse 41? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. It's a total reversal. It's a total deviation of the expectations. It is not do the work first and listen later. It is that listening to Jesus is so important that we should listen now, even if we had to eat leftovers. Even if we had to eat leftovers on Chinese New Year, listening to Jesus is the most important thing now. And I can just imagine everyone's jaw dropped. Martha's jaw, because what Jesus is telling us is so shocking. He's not saying that listening to him is a good thing. He's not saying that getting up in the morning to pray and do your Bible study is a good thing, or memorizing scripture is a good thing. Are you getting worried? He's saying it's not a good thing to listen to him, which you stop if there is something more urgent at home or at work. Not that listening to Jesus is a good thing. It is the one good thing. It is the only good thing. And one of my minor irritations with the NIV translation, which I generally think is a brilliant version of the Bible, the vast majority of the original copies that we have of the book of Luke omit that clause that the NIV includes. Just a few things. All of the original translations that we have only include that statement, only one thing is needed. And I think later translations and copies, they added this clause to try to soften the blow of Jesus' teaching. But I think he's very clear, only one thing is needed. And so whether you follow the Gregorian calendar or the lunar calendar, this year could you ask yourselves, what things are needed? What are the things that I need to do? What is causing me to wake too early and sleep too late with stress? How am I packing the car off my life? For if we can put listening in place to Jesus first and pack the rest around, we will be such a stronger Christian and church this year. And for Martha, well, she was busy doing lots of good things. She was welcoming and serving Jesus, and yet because she had stopped listening, she had let all of these distortions into her mind and her heart. She had a distortion that Jesus didn't care about her. And she comes to him and says, Jesus, why am I doing all these things for you? And I think Jesus would have said to her, did I ask you to do all these things, all of this busy work, or did I just ask you to do one thing, to listen to me? And that's why I think Martha is such a good saint for how so many of us feel in the busyness of our lives in Hong Kong. We need to learn and put into practice this important truth. And so as we come to a more practical end of this sermon this evening, I would just like to give us some thoughts for how we might want to build a one thing life. What might we need to change in our lives to be different this year? And the first thing I'd like to suggest is that listening to Jesus is where everything else starts. You know, Martha, she wanted to serve. It was very noble. She was working hard. But it would have gone so much better if she had listened to him first. Serving is the core of following Jesus. Be under no mistake, and we'll certainly see that very clearly in the next few weeks in Luke as we do deeper dives into aspects of discipleship. But the service must always grow out of a life that is rooted in listening to Jesus, not the other way around. If it's the other way around, it will be a disaster. You will be distracted and you will be frustrated and you will feel that the Lord does not care about you. Start by listening to Jesus. And this, as I mentioned at the start of this address, is a wonderful theme in the book of Luke. It permeates the entire gospel. For example, Jesus' mother Mary is a big deal in the book of Luke. I'm from Ireland. Lots of people venerate Mary. We don't venerate her at St. Andrews, but I want to say she's a wonderful character and model in the scriptures. And she's blessed because she listens to the word of God. And in chapter 11 of Luke's gospel, a woman in the crowd shouts out to Jesus, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." It's a very Irish verse, but Jesus is not having any of it. He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Listen and obey in that order. Listen first, then serve. They were a pair. They were never meant to be separated. Martha is so busy that she won't listen, and it eventually kills all of her joy and her serving and her loving, and she's frustrated. And so I'd like to ask you a challenge question this evening. For those of you who are here tonight, for those of you who are serving in our church, and I want to say we are so glad you're here, and we are so glad you are serving. But why are you doing the serving? Does it flow out of a relationship with Jesus? Does it flow out of a love for Jesus? Or does it flow out of a feeling of guilt? Does it flow out of a need to impress him? Or does it flow out of a need because I feel guilty of something in my past? Am I serving because I want to earn the relationship, to prove myself, or to show others that I'm just a bit more godly than I really am? And for some of us here tonight, and I say this very carefully, perhaps if we are serving and we're not listening to Jesus, it might be better for us to stop the service for a while so we can listen to him first. Because Jesus is more keen about our hearts than he is about what we do for him. Now, I can hear our volunteer coordinator panicking at the back as I say this. But I want to be very careful, because if we as a church, if we love and listen to Jesus first, if we all did this at 5 p.m., we would never have a shortage of volunteers at St. Andrew's. We would never have a shortage of service at our mission partners. We would have soft hearts. We would have firm convictions. We would have joy and peace and generous pockets and time, because we would have the right priorities, because we know who Jesus is and why he came and what it means to follow him as his disciple, or as a disciple in that order. Listen to Jesus first. Listening is the start of our discipleship. The second thing that I find helpful in trying to listen to Jesus is to recognize that my limitations in my life are a feature. My limitations are a feature. It's very healthy to recognize that you're actually limited. God knows this, and so what he asks us to do is to do one thing, to listen to him, and then try to spend the rest of our lives figuring out what that might mean in the time we have. Listen, and then do something. The problem I feel that most modern people have is we try to do everything. We try to debug our frailty. We try to debug ourselves and our limitations, and we end up stretching ourselves far too far. I can just do one more thing, one more job, get one more promotion. If I can just get to this place, get to where I really need to be, then I'll start listening to Jesus. Except it was never meant to be arranged this way. We think so many things in our lives, we can drop Jesus if it just lets me do this one thing. And it was never meant to be that way. Your life, your work, your Christian service, that was all meant to flow out of a relationship that starts with sitting at Jesus' feet as our Lord and our Savior. And so this CNY, where do we need to act to preserve this, to preserve the space to listen and then to serve? And then, as Alex reminded us earlier, what is the one thing that we could do at St. Andrew's or with our mission partners, as we heard last week on Mission Sunday? For many of us, I suspect it would actually start with doing less so we can listen to Jesus. And the third thing I'd like to tell you that I found helpful in listening to Jesus is to be deliberate, to be intentional about it, because it's not going to happen on its own. And while I don't want to be too specific, or because it'll come across as legalistic, and we're all different at different places and times and our family personal circumstances, but something that I do, my life has changed since I've had children, so I had to change how I read the Bible. I walk my son to school in the morning. On the way back, I listen to scripture being read to me on the Crossway application. When I get home, I read what I've just read. It's given me more time to think about it, and then I pray. And I use an order of readings. I know Pastor Alex uses it as well. It's edited by Don Carson. It's called For the Love of God, and it uses the McChain Bible reading plan. And if you would like that, send me a memo, and I can set you up about it. For those of you who are with someone, if you live with someone, or perhaps you're thinking about getting married to someone, are you reading the Bible together? If you're not married yet and you're not reading the Bible together, think again, because it's not going to suddenly happen once you get married. But for those of us here with families, could I impress upon you this evening to build and order your life around listening to Jesus as a family? You can hide your Bible reading plan from me and Alex. That's okay. I don't mind if you lie to me. The one group of people you can't hide your Bible reading plan from is your children. That's why God gave us children. What I do in my family, the only time my two children are awake and I'm home at the same time is after bath time at 6 o'clock. And it really gets in the way of playtime, but it's just something we all do together as we read the children's Bible, because it's the only time we have. Or Sundays, for example. I know for many of us, this is just our one day off. We're so glad that you come to church on Sunday and listen to the Word of God taught here. But is our Sunday only built around play, or do we in our Sabbath have a component for prayer as well? Play and pray. Or is Sunday just about homework and sport and nice lunches? This is sort of the one thing we need to be intentional and deliberate about thinking about. Because as Christians, we were never meant to be consumers of God's word. We're supposed to be listeners and hearers. As the Bible holds up a mirror and we sit under it. The great Eugene Peterson, who wrote a lot of literature for pastors, he says in the modern era, we're printing more and more Bibles each year than we've ever printed before. And we talk about it as if it's some great boon. But he actually argues the opposite. He says it's led to a Bible saturation in our culture, where we've become consumers of the word. Bibles sit on shelves and chapters of books are to be ticked off rather than listening and being hearers of God's word and coming under it. Now, those are just three thoughts that might give you some food for thought at dinner, to be deliberate, to know your limitations and arrange your life, and I can't remember the first one, everything starts from listening. And you know, Mary and Martha, for about 600 years in church history, they were used as an example to create a false dichotomy that it's okay to, some groups of people serve and other groups of people pray. And it was used for a long time as a call to monasticism, to withdraw to monasteries, become a nun or a monk, and go and be very quiet and pray all the time and listen to Jesus. Except this is never what I think Luke was ever trying to teach us. They were supposed to be a pair and to go together. And we see this tremendously in both of these two women who were just exposed to their frailty and their humanity. For we know that it was Mary who would that day anoint Jesus with perfume, anoint Jesus with a year's wages of special perfume. And she listened so she could worship. And Mary was incredible. Because she listened, she recognized what all the other men in the room at the party had missed. She recognized what Jesus' mission was, to come and to give his life as a ransom for many. She listened first, and therefore she could worship. Her worshiping flowed out of her listening. Let us be Christians like Mary. And I know that Martha in church history has often got a bad deal, but can I advocate that she was no lame or foolish disciple? Yes, we're exposed to her moment of weakness here at the family party. But this correction, this helpful correction that she too needed to listen instead of serve. For just a short time later, when Jesus was back at her house and they're having another party and her brother Lazarus is there, we see this tremendous profession and arguably the best affirmation that anyone makes in the entire New Testament. If we could have the next slide, please. In John 11, sorry, it's from the book of John, my apologies. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Martha was the one who was able to recognize who Jesus was and give the clearest declaration of his identity. So can I encourage us all as a church that we need to change how we do our lives this year? And if we start here, if we start with a relationship that starts with listening to Jesus, we will be more Christ-like, we will be less distracted, we will be less upset, we will have better priorities and more joy and more peace and more service across all of our church and across this city. Let's begin by packing our lives with the Lord Jesus Christ and his words. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the harsh rebuke that you gave to Martha that day, Lord, but I pray that we would be humbled as we apply it to ourselves. Lord, show us the areas of our life where we need to stop and to listen to you and to move out into the world from that position of poise and confidence. Help us, we pray. Give us wisdom to order our lives, and may we be like Mary, Lord, to sit at your feet each day to love and honor and adore you, and with that give us the confidence
and joy that we need to do all the things you are calling us to do, both as a church and as a people. In Jesus' name.